This week's parsha is Vayishlach, and what I want to discuss this evening is one of the more difficult stories in the parsha, and one of the more difficult stories in the entire Torah. That's the abduction of Dina, daughter of Yaakov, as well as the response of the family, and particular her brothers, Shimon and Levi. And then the subsequent debate, disagreement between Yaakov and the son, his son Shimon and Levi, in terms of their reaction to what they did in response to the abduction of Dina, rescuing Dina, and ultimately slaughtering the city of Shechem, the inhabitants, as a punishment or as a retribution towards what had occurred. So, just a quick synopsis. I don't want to go through the details because I want to focus more on the response. And then what I want to do also, particularly, is share with you. I don't remember all the details. I'll do my best to try to say it the best of my ability, what I remember. But a number of years ago, Rabbi Alex Israel was visiting Detroit. He's a teacher of Tanakh in Israel. I believe he teaches in Eretz HaTzvi and the Midrash at Lindenbaum. He lives in the Gush. And he gave a shiar on this topic, so I want to try to say over what he said at the time. A very interesting approach to all this. Any event, and this, so the basic story is Dina goes out, again, the daughter of Yaakov, and Shem, who's the prince, the son of the mayor of the city of Shem of Hamor, is the he's like the mayor. He sort of runs the clan there. So Shem abducts her. And he's intimate with her, and he afflicts her, and it sounds like he rapes her against her will, certainly without her consent, not with the family's consent, not the what was the norm at the time. If you wanted to marry a girl at that time, you had to negotiate with the father, with the brothers, and that did not take place here. Shem then once goes to his father, says he wants to marry this girl, and then they begin this whole negotiation process. With Yaakov and the sons, and they want to make a treaty that they'll have a financial agreement between the families, between the clans of Yaakov and the clans of Shem and Hamor. In addition, they'll allow their children to marry one another. And what Yaakov and the sons decide to do is that they're trying to they basically they don't want anything to do with this. So they say, okay, well, we'll make a deal. If you have to be like us, you have to circumcise. Everyone has to circumcise themselves. They probably assume that they're not going to agree to this deal, but Shem and Hamor go back to the townspeople, and they all agree. Okay, we'll do a circumcision. It's unclear also how many people live here in Shem. It's probably like a clan, so we don't know exactly how many people we're talking about here. Some sizable population. Was it 50 people, 100 people? It's unclear. We don't know. The Torah doesn't say. And what happened is they go through this circumcision on the third day when they're most in pain, suffering from the circumcision. Shimon and Levi march into town, and they slaughter the people who are all in pain, and basically they slaughter all the men of the town, including Shechem and Hamor, and then. They grab all the children and the women, and they plunder the city, and then they grab Dina and they rescue Dina, and so the story ends by Yaakov now finding out what Shimon and Levi have done. Yaakov says, "Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon veLevi, achartem osi lachishini beyoshvei haaretz, nakhnani prabizi v'ani misei misbar v'nasu alayak bikuni v'nishmarati ani avesi." What's Yaakov's response? He's very angry with Shimon and Levi. And he says, "You have discomposed me, making me odious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites, among the Perizzites. I am few in number, and should they band together and attack me, I will be annihilated, I and my household." So it sounds like, what is Yaakov's feelings about this matter? His feelings is that this was a big mistake to have killed out all these people because. At the end of the day, we're a small family, and presumably the people of Shechem have a lot of friends in the surrounding area. They're not going to be like this. They're not going to like what we did. It seems very deceitful and killing out all these people, and we're now vulnerable. All right, so it sounds like from a pragmatic perspective, Yaakov thinks what they did was wrong, it was a mistake. And Shimon and Levi famously respond, and it ends off with this last comment. They get the final word here. Vayomru, Shimon and Levi respond to their father, Hachazonah yaseh esachosenu. Should they treat our sister as a harlot? All right, like how can we allow this to happen to our sister? And that's it. That's how the story concludes. Although it doesn't, but it's not over yet, because many years later, on Yaakov's deathbed, he once again invokes this story, this incident, and he's not too happy with his son Shimon and Levi on his deathbed. He says, "This is Parshas Vayichi, Shimon and Levi Achim, Shimon and Levi, their brothers, Klei Chamas Mechil A weaponry is their craft. Bistom al tavo nafshi bekalam al techar kvodi kivya pam hargu ish ikru shor. Into their conspiracy may my soul not enter. With their congregation do not join. Oh, my honor, for in their rage they murdered people, and at their whim they humstrung an ox. Arur apam ki az, cursed is their rage for this intense. Some ki kashasa, their wrath is harsh. Achal came Israel, Yaakov, I will scatter them amongst Jacob. Afitzim Israel, and I will disperse them among Israel. So he lays it into them on his deathbed, and he seems to be a very different from his response at the time. At the time, he seems from a pragmatic perspective, he thinks what they did was wrong, putting the family in danger. Here, it seems to be from a more from a moral perspective. He thinks, that it was unethical what they did, that the anger and their rage and their response is something which is not appropriate. It's something that needs to be curtailed and to be dissipated and to be removed. Very harsh in his response. Okay, so what do we make of all this? And you know, and then the question is like, who at the end of the day, who was right? Is Yaakov right? Or is Shimon and Levi right? Right? What was correct? What was appropriate? You know, what should have taken place? And what did occur? Was it ultimately the correct response? So there's a machlokas here between the Rambam and the Ramban. You know, first of all, the question is, you know, were the people of does not only does Shimon and Levi kill Shechem, who raped Dinah, but they also kill his father. And they killed the other male inhabitants of the town. Now, was that justified? So the Rambam, Maimonides, famously says, yes, it was in fact completely justified that what Shimon and Levi did. Rambam says this in the Hilchos Melachim, in his Mishneh Torah, he's talking about the laws of a Ben Noach, of a non-Jew, and the seven laws that they need to uphold. So he says the following. He says this is in Perek Tes Halacha Yudalit. The Ketzad Mitzavim Al Adina. One of the seven Noahide laws is to uphold basic dinim, basic laws. So says the Rambam, Chayavim Lahoshiv Dayanim V'Shoftim Mikol Plach. What this means that these be a, even non-Jews. One of the seven Noahide laws is that they need to have a justice system. That there needs to be a sense of law and order. That's a basic human necessity that God mandates for all humanity. And that requires judges, officers to create laws and to uphold laws, enforce laws, London b'sheish mitzvos elu, to enforce the other six Noahide laws. Not to kill, not to steal. Ulahazir and to tell the people, to teach the people, to uphold these laws. And if a Noahide violates any one of these seven Noahide laws, including upholding justice and enforcing justice, Yaharug Messiah, if they're deserving to be killed with the sword. It's a capital offense to violate any of these Noahide laws. Because of this, Nischaivu Kol Baalei Shechem Hariga. And this is why Shimon and Levi were justified in killing out the residents of Shechem, each and every one. Why? Sharei Shechem Gezel, Ve'im roi v'yodu v'lo danu. Shem stole Dina, kidnapped her, raped her, violated her. So that was terrible. That itself was a violation of the Noahide laws. But then what did the rest of the society do? What was their response? Did they hold him to an account? Did they bring him to justice? Did they demand justice? Did they demand that he return Dina? Did they bring him to court and bring him to trial? No, they looked the other way. And as a result, they were all deserving of death, of not upholding the seventh law of enforcing justice, having a just society. And that itself is a very powerful idea that Rambam is saying, is that we can't look the other way when there's injustice, when there's behavior that's taking place underneath our eyes. Even though we're not perpetuating it, we're not the ones who are engaged in that behavior, but we can do something about it. We can speak up, we can speak out, we can protest, we can bring others to justice, demand justice. If we fail to do that, then we're guilty. So that's the Rambam's approach here, that the entire city was guilty of allowing this to occur and not protesting and not bringing Shechem to justice. The Ramban, in his commentary here in our Parsha, disagrees. And he says the following. He says, it's a long piece. I'm just going to read a few statements of his. He says, why did Yaakov get angry? Why did he get so angry at Shechem and Levi? So, Yaakov sha'arad apam al shahargo because at the end of the day, argues Ramban, the rest of the people were not guilty. The rest of the people didn't rape Dina. It was Shechem. If someone needed to be killed, it was Shechem, what he did to Dina. But Levado, but that's it. In other words, Yaakov, what he wanted to happen is that, this whole thing with the circumcision was a way to rescue Dina, right? That they would all circumcise themselves, they'd be in pain, and what would happen is that the sons would go in and the people wouldn't be able to defend themselves, and they would be able to pull out Dina, maybe kill Shechem in the process, but not the rest of the population. Why would the rest of the population be deserving of death? That's what Yaakov was all upset about. And so then he asked the question, so why did Shimon and Levi do this? How could these righteous people, murder these innocent people? So the Ramban quotes the Rambam about the theory we just mentioned about, them all being guilty for not upholding justice. But the Ramban doesn't buy that. He doesn't think that that's c correct. And he has this whole argument that he makes. Again, I'm not gonna read through the whole thing right now. And so he says at the end, what do you think? What is it he thinks? How can he make sense of all this? Why did they kill the rest of the people? Because the rest of the people, they were all Rishayim. They're all wicked people. They all were idolaters and probably murderers themselves. They all were people who were deserving of death for one reason or the other. That wasn't connected to the incident of Dina, but for other reasons. So they felt that they're all deserving of death. They're all deserving of breath. But Yaakov says, okay, that may be true, but what's the benefit here? In fact, if anything, you killing them is making things worse for me, because now all the surrounding cities and villages may get upset and may now harm us. Bottom line is that the Ramban does not argues that again, maybe on a technicality, Shimon and Levi were had a right to kill the rest of the people, but it was Yaakov was saying that it was a terrible mistake. Terrible mistake. Okay. So you have this machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether or not the people were really deserving of death because of what that happened, specifically in relation to the immediate, rape and abduction of Dina. Then you have the question again, these two responses of Yaakov. His initial response at the moment seems to be, this is a mis what you did was just, just from a practical perspective, was not a smart idea because now we're all vulnerable. But on his deathbed, from a moral perspective, he very much condemns the his sons, and but his sons, right at the time, they feel that they're right. They feel that we need to stand up for our sister, and we can't allow this to happen. So there's a very interesting Refersh. Refersh here has a very interesting, a sort of a middle ground approach to this entire episode, and try to explain both positions of Shimon and Levi, as well as the sons of Yaakov. And the larger issue here is not only to understand this particular incident, but it's to understand us in general. How do we respond when people harm us, when people hurt us? Do we take the moral high ground? Do we resort to violence and to stand up for our rights? Or do we sort of look, not look the other way necessarily, but recognize that violence is not our response, and there's more of a justice system. But what is the correct response, the correct reaction? And many people, the response of Shimon Levi speaks to them, like, "Hakazonai, like, we're not going to put up with this, right? Dam Yodi, Jewish blood is this expression, is not Jewish blood is not cheap." Right, you hurt us, we're gonna hurt you. Right, we're gonna make a statement, right? That it's not, don't expect and don't think it's gonna be easy to harm us Jews, because we're strong, we're mighty, we're powerful. We're not gonna put up with this. And therefore, again, what Shimon Levi did to many people, it makes sense. And the Yaakov reaction seems maybe weak. The Yaakov reaction is like, oh, it's immoral and ethical. So who cares if moral and ethical? We have to stand up for our rights and our life. And if they're not going to play fair, we're not going to play fair. We don't want us to be dead. We want to be alive and thrive. So those are different perspectives. So our first says the following. Right, he says, now the blameworthy part begins, right? Now Shimon and Levi say their thing. Yaakov says his thing. So it says the first, had Shem and, had they just killed Shem, Yaakov would not have said anything. But again, but they killed everyone. They killed everyone in the city. Therefore, Yaakov reproached them. You've clouded our reputation, our name, our honor. And what's their answer? Their answer is Achizona, right? Should our sister be made into a harlot? And that gives, he says, their whole narrative. The Lord would never have allowed himself to act as he did. We're not a question of a foreign, friendless, forsaken Jewish girl. They said, you know why he took our sister? You know why he raped our sister? Because he viewed us as weak. He viewed us as foreigners and people who don't have any strength, any guts to stand up for themselves. That was the thought that brought home to the minds of Shimon and Levi that there are times the family of Yaakov too must grasp the sword to protect the purity and honor of their women. They had no desire to act prudently. They wanted to make themselves feared so that nobody would attempt anything similar. Right? You try this again, this is what's going to happen to you. The daughters of Yaakov were not to be considered as being at anybody's disposal. But nevertheless, they went too far, Shimon and Levi, to take revenge on innocent people for that which powerful ones had done. Maybe they had a right to kill Shechem. Maybe the right to kill Shechem's father, Hamor. Kill innocent townspeople? That was too extreme. And then he says the following. It is only the means which they took, and they're going much too far in their use of them, that is blameworthy. The motive that moved Shimon and Levi, the purpose they were striving for, was holy and most justified one. But now he sort of takes a middle ground. He says, okay, so moving forward, what should the Jews do? So he said that we have to be very careful to balance. That sometimes we do have the right to pick up the sword, right, and to march out in war, when it's justified, when we need to protect ourselves, defend ourselves, to annihilate people who are out to harm us. But we have to be careful at the very same time that we don't go beyond what is needed and what is necessary and what is allowed. Because it's a very fine line between what is justified and what is inexcusable, and what is, you know, where there's this, you know, once you're acting in rage and anger and honor, you may wind up hurting innocents along the way. You have to be very careful to navigate that very fine line between justice and then injustice, between what's fair, what's necessary, and to on the other hand, what is unconscionable and immoral and unethical. And we know in our day and age with the Israeli army that this thing that it always has to deal with and struggles with. When you have to confront the terrorists and people that are seeking to harm us, but at the same time, not hurting innocents in the process. And not, because you're holding a gun, you just can, just allow it to shoot the bullets anywhere. And not without an address, harming both those who are guilty, but also those who are certainly innocent, and those who who are nothing to do with the danger that's in front of you. And so it's a very practical approach, but it's not an easy approach because you have to be very careful and measured in terms of your response. That's Refersh's approach. But the last approach that I get, if I remember this correctly, from this, it was a shiur I heard a number of years ago from this Rabbi Alex Israel, he quoted up one final approach, which has a lot to do with contemporary Israeli society, and it has to do with an interesting comment that Yaakov makes on his deathbed. If you remember what he said, and Rashi fills in and explains a little bit what he's talking about. But he says the following. He says, "Apam, in their anger, in Shimon and Levi's anger, Harguish, they killed a man." So it wasn't mean they killed a man in their anger. So Rashi tells us, who do they kill? In their anger, they killed out these people in Shechem. Right? He killed out all these people. And again, it may have been justified to kill Shechem himself, who committed another grievous sin and the horrific act of violating Dinah, but they wound up killing all these innocent people. Again, the Rambam says it was justified, Rambam says it was not. And clearly Yaakov was not happy with that, and from a moral perspective here in at, on his deathbed. And so in their anger, because when you're angry, and this is a general idea, when you're angry, you don't always think clearly. You lose control. Wind up doing things that are not so appropriate, and can even quite harmful, as obviously in this case. So kiviyapam hargu ish, in their fury they killed a man. But then it says something very strange. Then he says ubitzonam ikru shor. This is again Yaakov's talking on his deathbed. He says, and in their wish they hamstrung an ox. Ox? Oh, they kill an ox also in Shechem? Like what's he talking about killing an ox? So Rashi says here, and it's a very insightful comment of Rashi, and based on the Medrash, Ubritzonam Iku Shor, right, and their wish they hamstrung an ox, Ratsu La'akor es Yosef. Who is the ox? The ox is Yosef. Joseph, their brother Yosef. The Nikra Shor, who is called a Shor, called an ox, Shinamar, Bechor Shoro, Hadalo. Right, the pasuk says in reference to Yosef, to the tribe of Yosef, at the end of the Torah, that the chief of his ox, glorious, is his. So, said Rabbi Israel, what's happening here? What's Yaakov saying to Shimon and Levi? He's saying, you may have been justified in what you did, right? Certainly, you were justified, of course, rescuing Dinah, perhaps even in killing Shechem. And maybe even killing the rest of the inhabitants. Perhaps you were justified. Maybe, like the Rambam says, they were guilty for not bringing Shechem to justice. Maybe, like the Ramban says, that they were guilty in general. They were all were murderers and whatever, and thieves and all these terrible people. So maybe you were justified. But you know what you have to be careful about? When you pull the trigger, when you engage in violence, and in acts of killing and things of that nature, even when you're justified, you have to be very careful that that doesn't become the norm of your behavior. And that doesn't become the new way that you operate. and that you respond to it conflict, because there's a very fine line between where it's justified and where it's necessary, and to, and at the same time where it's completely inappropriate and completely reckless and even destructive. And what's the example? Yosef, right? Their brother Yosef. Because what happened? They got jealous of Yosef. We're going to read we're going to read in the next expression, Vayesha. They get jealous of Yosef. And what do they decide to do with Yosef initially? To kill him. How could they kill her brother? You know what Yaakov says? You know they could kill their brother because they just kill Shem. Like once you pull the trigger on one person, even if it's justified, there's again a very fine line between you pull a trigger on someone who's innocent. And again, if I remember Rabbi Israel in this presentation, I think you know he spoke about the murder of Yitzhak Rabin, right? The prime minister of Israel, killed by a fellow Jew. And so, when you're engaged in violence and you're serving in the army and you and says you have to kill terrorists and things of that nature, once you're pulling triggers, sometimes your vision gets very clouded as to who you have a right to kill and who you are, who you of course is you have no right to harm in any way. But sometimes you have a hard time making that distinction because once you begin to act in a certain manner. This is a warning, to us, especially in our day and age, especially in contemporary Jewish living today, where the Jews do have a lot of power with the state of Israel. We have a very strong army, and we certainly have to protect ourselves. And in many ways, we're like Shimon and Levi, that we're not going to put up, right? We don't put up, and now we want to make it very clear to people who try to harm us. That will not go unpunished unanswered. We're proactive to prevent, people from harming us, and that's our strength, to today, and that's what's necessary, what we have to do. But at the same time, when we're engaged in that type of behavior, you have to be very careful, that you may come to use that in places where it's not at all sanctioned and justified. Sometimes, especially when you're angry and you're upset, so then you don't think clearly, and may wind up doing things that are completely not allowed, and are detrimental. They can be practically very detrimental and dangerous. Like Yaakov's initial, concern with what happened. What you did is it's going to open us up for harm. And again, that might be immoral and unethical. And what does that say about us as a people? So again, it requires this very delicate balance. It's a heavy responsibility. On the one hand, we do need to stand up for ourselves and protect ourselves. At the same time, we have to be careful that we don't wind up doing more than we need to. Right, it could be that it was justified to kill Shechem and Hamor, but it wasn't justified to kill the rest of the inhabitants of the city. Or maybe it was justified to kill the inhabitants of the city, but it wasn't justified to try to kill Yosef. And again, where you draw that line, again, and who moves that line is it's very narrow, and it can easily, swayed one way or the other. And if you're not really careful, you may wind up doing things that are completely unjustified and completely unethical and immoral. So I think what emerges is that the story of Dina, this horrible story. Dina is the victim here. Right? Dina is the one who's violated, and it's such a tragic story just for her personally, in terms of what happens. But then for the rest of the family, in terms of their response, so even when your response on some level is justified and it's understandable, but the clarity that is demanded of us is of the on the highest of levels, that we need to be very, very careful in terms of how we react and respond, especially in moments that that are full of tension and full of confusion and difficulty, that that's when you can make the biggest mistakes. That's where you potentially can do something that does is completely against our core values. So sometimes we're justified in certain reactions, and again, on many levels, we relate to Shimon and Levi and how what they said, what how they re res responded, and in many ways, we it was we say, yeah, that's what we need to do, but we've only doing those things. There's you still have to be extremely, extremely careful in terms of what is justified, what is reckless, dangerous, what is completely unethical and antithetical to our values. Okay, that's I think there's more to talk about, but I think that's enough just to get get to really think about this very important back and forth and dialogue between Shimon Levi and their father Yaakov. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.